Good morning. My name is Grady Smith. I am one of the ministers here at Northeast and grateful to be a part of this fine congregation. Love you all, appreciate you. And while I've said on many occasions that Northeast is not a perfect church because we're made up of people, right? It's a great church, and it's great to be a part of it. And I'm always excited to be able to get back into the pulpit. I am not the regular pulpit guy, Noah, and a whole group of folks, including Nick, some of our young adults, are at a retreat right now at Fort Hill Christian Youth Camp. So you don't see some of them here because they are out of town. Memorial Day weekend, very, very big travel day for a lot of people. I've noticed a lot of guests here this morning. We are happy to have you with us. And a lot of our folks are traveling as well. Some of them doing some camping and some of them doing some other things. But we are glad you're here. It's already been stated. It'll probably be stated again. We have our first cookout of the year. And I'm kind of the point person for the cornhole. And I'm not playing. I've decided I'm not playing this year because I just wanted to make it fair for everybody else. And but I'm kind of organizing it. So if you're still interested in playing in the cornhole tournament, after service, I'm going to be out front for 5 or 10 minutes, and then I'm going to mosey down to where everybody's meeting. So if you want to play and you want to participate, let me know, and we'll make sure to get you on that. Memorial Day, as Rob has already stated, brings the whole idea of memories and remembering things. I really like the story of the elderly couple who were having trouble remembering all kinds of things as they got older. It would cause conflicts. They'd be arguing with each other. I already told you that. Well, I didn't tell you that. You know how y'all can't relate to that, can you? But so they go to the doctor together, and they tell him about this issue. He says, "Why don't you do this? Why don't you, if you really need to remember something, why don't you write it down? And if you write it down, you'll have it there, and it'll help you remember, and there's going to be less conflict in your marriage, in your relationship. Y'all get along better." And they said, "Okay, we'll try that." So a couple of days pass. They're sitting in the living room, and the husband, we'll call him Joe. Joe says, "I'm going to the kitchen, and I'm going to get me a bowl of ice cream." And the wife, we'll call her Ethel. Ethel says, "Joe, when you go in there, would you get me a bowl of ice cream too?" He says, "Sure, I'll do that, bowl of ice cream." She said, "Whoop, maybe you better need to write that down so you don't forget." He says, "What? You think I'm going to forget a bowl of ice cream? Sure, I can get you a bowl of ice cream just like me." And so as he is walking toward the kitchen, she says, wait. "There's something else I want on that. On my ice cream, I want some whipped cream." And he says, "Okay, I can remember that." She says, "Are you sure you don't want to write that down so you don't forget?" He said, "I'm not going to forget." And he's almost in the kitchen. She says, one more thing. "Put a cherry on the top." He says, "Okay, ice cream, whipped cream, cherry on top. I got it." She says, "Are you sure you don't want to write that down?" He says, "Honey, I can remember three things, don't you think?" So about 10, 15 minutes later, he comes back to the living room with a plate with bacon and eggs. And she looks at that and says, I told you, if you didn't write it down, you'd forget it. You forgot the toast." Isn't life like that? A lot of times. When's the last time you forgot something? You might have forgotten something this morning. "Oh, we're having a cookout. I forgot to make so-and-so." You know, we do that all the time. I love the old routine that Steve Martin did. Now, some of you younger ones, you know, Steve Martin's, you know, he's an old comic, but you know, back in my heyday, Steve Martin was one of the most popular ones. And I love the routine that he did when he said, you can be a millionaire and not pay any taxes. And people say to me, Steve, how can I be a millionaire and not pay any taxes? He says, well, this is what you do. The first thing you do is get $1 million, all right? That's step one. And the second thing is, eventually, when the tax man cometh to your door and says, you haven't paid any taxes, he says, two simple words will take care of that. You know what it is, right? You remember the routine? I forgot, all right? I forgot. Try that next time you owe taxes with the IRS. It's probably not going to work, but it can be kind of difficult to remember things sometimes, can it? You ever been in a situation, you're talking to someone, you see someone, and you think, oh, what's their name? I'm supposed to know their name. And you're trying to figure out a way to have a conversation with them, but not to let them know that you don't know their name, but they know that you don't remember their name, and there's just this kind of awkward, you know. It, in a Christian circle, it's really easy, isn't it? Like, hey, brother. Good to see you, sister. You know, that one's always pretty safe. But, you know, whether it's walking into the room, what did I walk in here for? Does anybody ever do that besides me? You ever walk in a room and say, what did I walk in here for? And then you walk out and then finally you remember. I remember one time, and this is probably 25 years ago. My memory has gotten so much better than back then. That obviously I said that in jest. But anyway, back then, I saw this couple at the parking lot at Big Lots. And I think, I'm supposed to know them. But, you know, I couldn't really place it. So, they were in such a place and position that I couldn't really, like, ignore them. So I had to say something to them, but I knew it was going to kind of be awkward. And I said to them, I said, don't I know you? I know you from somewhere. And they said, yes. We were at church yesterday, and we met you, and we talked for about 5 minutes. Yeah, it was Gary and Carol Gage, if any of you remember them, and they eventually did come to Northeast and became active members here. But sometimes that's hard. We forget things. So put on your calendar, National I Forgot Day. No, this is a real thing. July 2nd, several years ago, was established as National I Forgot Day, and it was started by a woman in Indiana who had forgotten her daughter's birthday and the anniversary with her husband, and she thought, well, I'm just going to pick a day that all the things I've forgotten, I can use that, number one, to admit when I've made mistakes, to try to make things right, and maybe folks on I Forgot Day can commit to ways to remembering things. And, you know, we have devices that help us remember stuff all the time. But here's an interesting thing about memory that I discovered as I was working on this sermon. And that is, it's not always a bad thing to forget. In fact, we are wired physically, physiologically, biologically, we are wired to forget. And you think of all the information, all the things that happened to you, all the experiences, you know, what do we do with all of that information? And a doctor, Dr. Scott Small, wrote a book, said, Forgetting the Benefits of Not Remembering. And he explains that there are molecular nanomachines within our neurons, one for memory and the other for forgetting. And then this lady who's writing an article about his book, she says this, in a world buzzing with information, it's essential to be able to turn down the noise and discard useless details so they don't interfere with access to new learning or ideas. Without our awareness, and particularly during sleep, the brain is constantly sorting out which memories to keep and which can be purged and forgotten. Did you realize that when you're sleeping, all that's going on in your brain? The ability to forget helps us to prioritize, think better, make decisions, and be more creative. Normal forgetting in balance with memory gives us the mental flexibility to grasp abstract concepts from a mass of stored information, allowing us to see the forest through the trees. So it's not always a bad thing. We're kind of created that way. But you and I know, on the flip side, it's not always just about forgetting where I put my car keys, right? Or forgetting that little detail. You know, sometimes it can be quite painful and difficult. And I know some of you have dealt with the effects of Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia in your family. You know, with your parents, with other loved ones. As a Christian brother I know, he used to be a member here at Northeast years ago, but not anymore. But I met with him a couple of years ago, and his wife had Alzheimer's, and he lost her gradually over about a year and a half's time, 2 years, step by step by step. And I remember meeting him for lunch and asking about her. And he said, "Grady, I lost her 6 months ago. It just isn't her anymore. It is, and it isn't, in a sense." Because you and I know that memories are powerful. Our identity is wrapped up in our memories. Who you are today, how you think about yourself and your relationship with the world and the relationship you have with others is all shaped, not completely, but in large part shaped by your memories of the past. How you were raised. So if perhaps you were raised in a context of a lot of love and care and concern and nurturing, that's going to affect how you think about things today and how you live. In the contrast, if there was a lot of dysfunction and turmoil, trauma, that can affect how you think about things today, how you react to things today. It's powerful. Memories are powerful. And it can be something as simple as a song that you hear that brings back a memory. How many of you associate songs with things you've experienced? I hear the song "Sailing" by Christopher Cross. I thought about singing it for you this morning, but I'm not. I know how much y'all love me to sing while I preach. But I think of Jeannie immediately. That was one of our songs. How about a smell? How many of you smell like a certain food at a certain time, and that brings back memories of Sunday dinner at grandma's? There's that distinct smell. It's kind of a green beans and corn and, you know, maybe some meat kind of mixed in there, but you smell it and it brings back that memory. Memories are powerful. To this day, I have an irrational fear of bees. I mowed lawns for a couple of years when I was in high school, made pretty good money doing that in our neighborhood, partnering with a friend. And several times as we're mowing, you know, you mow over a yellow jacket nest in the ground. And, you know, I would just totally freak out whenever that happened. Sometimes they would sting me. But the trauma didn't go back to there. It goes back to when I was about 2.5 years old, to an event that I don't even remember in my mind. But my parents tell me that when I was that age, I would like to take a cup or a saucer or something, some plastic container, and I would go around. One of the things I like to do is just pick leaves off of bushes and put them in that cup and walk around. That's the kind of, by the way, those are the kinds of toys we had back in my day. We found ways to entertain ourselves by doing things like putting leaves in a cup, all right? But I don't remember this memory, but my mama tells me that I did it to a bush that had a hornet's nest, and I got about 25 stings on my head, my neck, my face, and I know that fear goes back to that. And so I think it's important we understand that we deal with our past. We can't forget our past. Our focus needs to be on the future. Paul himself says in Philippians 3, I do one thing, I forget what is behind, and I reach forward to what lies ahead. But that doesn't mean that Paul completely forgot the past or it didn't mean anything to him. He talks about the past. But if we don't deal with the past in the right way, for example, with some serious trauma or abuse, people sometimes wonder, you know, what's the value of therapy? You know, you're always talking about the past and what's the point of going? Sometimes somebody needs to understand the past and come to terms with the past to live more productively in the present. And so while we keep a forward view, at the same time it's important to remember that there are some things too important to forget. Gene, have you ever forgotten your anniversary? Never. What's your anniversary date? Oh man, you're impressive. Lori, have you ever forgotten your anniversary? Oh my. Sometimes we forget days. Some of my grandkids are here this morning, so I hope they're not upset when I say, I don't know if I can name the birth dates of every one of my grandchildren. I have 7 of them. That's a lot to remember. I remember they were born. I may be able to remember the month, but that's not as important as what that meant in my life and what it means in my life. And that memory of that first grandchild born, Barrett, you know, it stands out because that was a momentous occasion. So while, Laura, you may have forgotten your anniversary, you haven't forgotten about the promise you made to Gene years ago and what that means. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish, as long as we both shall live. All right? So that commitment, that promise, is too important to forget. And so, Peter says, in the context of encouraging Christians to persevere and don't give up, and grow and develop in Jesus, I've just highlighted some of the highlights of what's already been read. But catch this as these verses are put together in 2 Peter 1. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them. I think it's right to refresh your memory. I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. And so, while you may not be able to remember the exact date that you were baptized, for instance, you remember that day probably. You remember what it meant and the commitment in your heart and your love for Jesus and what it meant to be made right with Him. as you put your faith in Christ. You weren't trusting in the water. You were trusting in Jesus on that day of that commitment. Memorials. AI came in quite handy. I thought I'd give it a try and looked up, what is a memorial? On artificial intelligence. By the way, my whole sermon was written by artificial intelligence today. No, that is a total kid. A memorial can be a monument erected to remember a person or event, something like a speech or a ceremony that commemorates a specific occasion or person, a keepsake or a memento that keeps a memory alive. That's a memorial. Every year, our daughter-in-law gives us a calendar with all the pictures of everything that's occurred in our family for that past year. It's very special. Jeannie keeps all of those calendars because those pictures of us living life with the grandkids and the kids, that means something. A record or a chronicle that documents facts or events. And I know when we think of memorial, we typically think and associate that with, you know, just death or Memorial Day, but it's not that way. You know, originally Memorial Day was called Decoration Day, and it was started years and years ago. It was right after the Civil War to commemorate those who had died in service. It was called Decoration Day, and then later on it became to be referred to more as Memorial Day, and then it was made a national holiday in the 1970s for the last Monday of every May. But a memorial can be anything. It can be a museum. Many of you have been to the Underground Railroad Freedom Center and Museum in downtown Cincinnati. That's a memorial to remember, you know, what things were like during that time and the meaning of what it meant to be free and that part of the history of our nation as people were smuggling slaves who were escaping from the South and coming north. It can mean something like this. We took a trip to Washington, D.C. several years ago with the Dugans, our kids. I don't remember how old the kids were, but I remember the last day we were in D.C. In the morning, we went to Arlington Memorial Cemetery and saw the changing of the guard and the tomb of the unknown. It's powerful because it had such special meaning. Then later in the afternoon, we went to Gettysburg. So on the same day, we go to Arlington, we go to Gettysburg, and it was a very poignant day in our lives. We also visited the Vietnam Memorial. And so this long stone wall with all these names of those who were missing or who were killed in action. And you don't tell people who go to these spots that it's just a name. It's more than just a name, isn't it? It means something. People take that paper, and they've been known to go up to the Vietnam Memorial and take a pencil and paper and just scratch over that place where their loved one has died and is commemorated for it. It's New York City. We also went to New York City the year after 9/11, 2001. And when we were there, it was just a hole in the ground. They hadn't built this memorial to 9/11 yet, but all of us who are old enough, we can remember where we were and what we were doing on that day and how we heard about it, right? How about this one? How many of you driving south on 71 toward Louisville ever noticed this sign? Raise your hand. I'm curious how many pay attention. And those of us, once again, who are old enough, remember this event back in 1988 when a church group from Kentucky was driving home from Kings Island, driving south, a drunk driver going north, in that lane of traffic hit them, and I can't remember how many died, but maybe 37, one of the worst bus crashes in U.S. history. So there's a purpose for that sign. It's a reminder, among other things, of the consequences of drunk driving, right? And what can happen. And then you might have memorials at your home. This is our backyard. And this is a picture of some chimes that were given to us by the Hugheses when Jeannie's dad passed away. And they're still there. This is like 2016, 8 years ago, with some scriptures and some memories. And while I won't say every time I hear those chimes or look at them, I think of Gramps, who was one of the greatest men I've ever known. World War II veteran, flew in the Pacific. And there's one of the last pictures I took of him when they were up here, he and Jeannie's brother, a year before Gramps passed away, almost 98 years old. We took him to the Wright-Patt Museum. And this picture was taken as he sat in a wheelchair in front of one of the planes that he flew in the Pacific. Memories are powerful, and reminders are important. And so I think of the Old Testament, and you see the story in the Old Testament that is a story of how God is working in history and how God is working in the lives and the history of the people of Israel. And you see so many reminders, and some of those reminders are associated with water. The rainbow, go back and read in Genesis, it's a reminder that God has made a covenant with his people. And among that, those things that are read there in the early chapters of Genesis is the reminder that the rainbow will be a reminder to them that God will never destroy the earth again through water. What about the Passover? And there were other feasts, but the Passover commemorated how God led them out of Egypt while they were oppressed as slaves. And when they ate the Passover feast and they ate the bitter herbs, they were reminded of the bitterness of their experience. When they ate the unleavened bread, they were reminded of having to leave in haste as God led them through the sea. As they ate the lamb, they were reminded of what the blood on the doorpost meant to them when that death angel passed over the homes that had the blood. It makes a difference. And what about the story of entering the promised land? I'm not going to read it in detail this morning, but you remember, after 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, 40 years of difficulty and challenge, and you look at a map, the distance from that area of Egypt to the promised land is not a 40-year trip. You could get there in weeks anyway. But because of their unfaithfulness, because of their stubbornness, fantastic miracle of the Red Sea's parting, and then 40 years, a generation falls, the time comes. 40 years later, they're getting ready to enter the promised land. The east side of the Jordan, going through the Jordan to the west to finally claim the promise that God had given them, but it was the rainy season, the flood season. And so there was no way that all of these people, hundreds of thousands, could pass into the promised land. But God performed a miracle there. You remember when the priest carrying the ark, they stepped into the water. Once again, the waters were parted. And as they stood in the middle where the river was dry, as God held those waters, the people passed through. And then God says to them, I want you to take one man from each tribe to go to the middle of this riverbed and get a stone. And on this side where we've come, I want you to lay the stones here. And he says to them, in the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. Don't forget what these stones mean. Some things are too important to forget. Remember your story. I want to just quickly make a point here. Parents, grandparents, tell your children and your grandchildren or your great-grandchildren. I did a funeral this week of a former member here, and she had 23 grands. Three of those were great-great-grandchildren. They need to know where you've come from. They need to know how God's worked in your life. They need your story. And so I encourage you to find ways to let them know, not just to remember grandma or grandpa or mom and dad, but remember that story of how God has worked in your life. We need to share that. Just like the Passover was a reminder that you were slaves in Egypt and the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. And then you come to the New Testament. This statement in 2 Timothy, to remember Jesus Christ. Remember Jesus Christ. Raised from the dead. Dead. Raised. Remember. How important is it for us to remember this, as Rob already stated in the greeting? Because all of history is wrapped up in Jesus. The history of mankind is wrapped up in Jesus. I believe that. You may not personally believe that, but I believe that's true. And when we remember the death of Jesus and his resurrection, we remember, as God said to them, remember what these stones mean. God says to us, remember what the cross means and what the death of Jesus means and his resurrection. And here is the absolute truth if you believe it and act on it. You may be tormented by the past or memories of the past and may still have a hard time dealing with those memories or that experience. But in Jesus, God can help you deal with that and turn you forward and set you free. And make things new and fresh and different. You might not forget the past, but you can certainly deal with it in Jesus. And you may need some counseling, other things as well. But you don't have to live in that pain forever. And then we come to the bread and the cup. Jesus took the bread and broke it, and then he took the cup. And all of that was about remembering. And I know, we weren't there. We weren't there. So we don't have a personal memory of him hanging on the cross. But in a sense, we were there. Who was responsible for the death of Jesus? You say Jewish leaders or the Romans. The reality is that your sins and my sins were nailed to the cross on that occasion. So we were there in a sense. He was paying the debt for our sins even before we came into existence. So every week we take the Lord's Supper, and we're going to be led in our thoughts for the Lord's Supper here in a minute by Tom Mingus, one of our veterans. We're grateful for men like Tom and others. Tell you what, I'm just going to pause here for a quick sec. If you have served in the armed forces at any time, please raise your hand. I would raise your hand high. If you have served as a first responder, as a firefighter, or a police officer, raise your hand too. Raise your hand. We're grateful for you. We're grateful for any sacrifice anybody makes in any context. But we thank you, and we honor you. And while I know we take the Lord's Supper every week, may it never just become just a routine thing. Oh, Lord's Supper. Kind of go through the motions. And certainly we don't take it every week, so we can brag that we take it every week, and some people out there don't take it every week. You know, that's not the purpose. It's to keep us focused. And so I'm thankful we take it every week, because every week we're brought to our roots in the most profound sense. Don't forget what these stones mean.